The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to Tito'sHometownTales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's Tito'sHometownTales.com.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. Follow the show on Twitter at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
Let's go.
Rock and roll. 8 o'clock in the great city of Chicago. You have to let the music breathe.
That was letting the whole song play.
My God. I mean, the bet just ran out, so.
I like that song.
I'm going to let it play. Eventually, they'll start singing. They won't. Let's go.
It's a bump.
It's mornings. Let's go. Yes,
it's called a bumper. A bump music.
Playing it all morning.
It's time to play Shot, No Shot.
That's why I say. Shot, No Shot, with Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I say
man, shot, No Shot, brought to you by the phenomenal people at PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet Sportsbook is now open. Download the PointsBet app right now. Stop by Hawthorne Racecourse to register your account.
You know, I'm going to take the blame for that one hoodie. I should have just played the open. My bad.
That's fine. Just waiting for my guy to just get ready. He gets locked in.
Good morning, Danny.
Hello, gentlemen.
What's up, Danny?
How you guys doing?
Chilling.
Let's chop it up on Shot, No Shot.
All right, boys. Today is a huge day. Or is it a huge day? That's what I'm going to ask you. Today, the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition comes out hot off the presses. Shot or no shot? That means anything to anyone anymore.
Shot. You have it with you?
I do not. Do they still print magazines?
Don't do that now.
I will have it because I have a subscription.
Osaka on the cover?
No, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue has a trans model on the cover for the first time ever. Her name, model actress, Lanaya Bloom.
Okay.
How about that?
Let me know when that comes out.
Huh? Comes out today.
Well, when does the male edition come out? I mean, M-A-I-L, male.
I mean, that was a segue right there, Kaplan.
When's the male come out?
It comes out today. It's released today. That's why I'm asking you about it.
He's got a nice V. Oh, God.
Look at his quads.
I love Rolf.
No.
Oh, my.
Will it be in my mailbox today, or are they mailing it to me today, and I'll get it in like 3 days?
Playgirl magazine. Oh, God.
Steve Stone.
Oh, wow. I'm sure it'll be coming out this week or early next week. I'll be looking for that in my mailbox.
So it's a big deal to you. I remember when I was in like eighth grade, freshman year of high school, before you can get your hands on the real smut magazines. What? When the swimsuit edition came out, me and my buddies could not wait. Like it would come in the mail and it would be like a celebration. Now I feel like it's like, they're just doing it because they just do it. You know, it's like one of those things. We do it every year because we do it every year. Are people eagerly awaiting the swimsuit edition? No.
Not like Elle McPherson like back in the
Tyra
day.
Tyra Banks. Miller, they both yelled shot at me like I was the crazy one.
No, it still matters.
No, it doesn't. That was nostalgia. No. That's the nostalgia in you, Hoodie, and me. I'll admit, it used to be a thing. It doesn't matter anymore.
I'll flip through it, though. I mean, if it comes in the mailbox, if pardon the expression, if it comes in the mailbox, I definitely will flip through it. I mean, but I will say this. It's nothing like I can't wait for it to come into the mailbox. Put it that way, Danny, right? If it comes there, sure, I'm going to flip through it. And I'll put it in, you know, with the rest of the magazines.
I think that's the point. Like, the magazine has gone. Once the magazine lost its luster, it just, the whole idea of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit no longer matters the way it, anywhere close to what it did. Do you guys, how often do you flip through a magazine?
Never.
If I'm not in the doctor's office, I'm looking at my phone. If I'm in the doctor's office, I'm looking at my phone.
Okay, so now here's the problem, okay? Here's the problem. We stopped reading as a society, and some people believe, like Danny, when he's on his run with his McConaughey books, Matt McConaughey.
It's a great book, Green Light.
Yeah, but you're not reading it. You're listening to it.
I'm reading the book. It's a book on tape, so I'm actually reading it.
You're listening to it on the run.
But I call it reading it. I read the book.
Is listening to books on tape, is that reading, Cap? That is not.
Kind of, but it's not.
I mean, kind of.
My wife loves books on tape like Danny. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it.
That's not reading.
I agreed. I'm more with you. Like, you're getting the information, so I'll give you a kind of. But reading to me is either on the Kindle app or on the book. Like, I read the book Can't Hurt Me. Have you read Danny?
Yeah, of
read
course.
That.
David Goggins.
David Goggins is one of my...
Did you read it or did you listen to it?
I read it.
Because I listened to it.
And that book is phenomenal.
That's not reading.
But we got the same. He read it with his own eyes. I listened with my own ears, but we all both heard the same words or saw. You know, I read the book, Hoodie. I read the book.
Did you turn the pages?
No.
Okay, that's not reading.
Did you guys read the book I gave you? The Four Agreements?
You didn't give me one.
Oh, yes, the Brady one, right? The Brady. Yes.
I gave you one and I signed it to you.
I perused it.
You gave me The Secret. That's the only book you ever gave me.
No, I gave you The Four Agreements, and if you don't have it, I'm going to bring you another copy.
I don't.
Tom Brady's publicist?
Can you bring me the audio version?
No.
I wasn't on the show at that time.
No, I think Hoodie's right. You get a deeper understanding of when you're actually reading. I'll agree with that. But you can also multitask in some books like the Matthew McConaughey one may not need a deeper understanding. Like, you can just get a lot out of it, but just by listening.
Plus, his voice adds to it, man.
So ultimately, you know what we're doing every day.
We're writing books?
We're having a book every day. Every 3 hours, it's a book.
Okay. Right? I'm an author today.
It's a novel every day.
I love
show.
It.
Right? Right?
It is.
Okay.
And more like a picture book.
Hey! Go ahead, Dan.
All right, boys. After the Bucks won the championship, Giannis had this to say about super teams.
Obviously, I wanted to get the job done. You know, but that's my stubborn side. Like, it's easy to go somewhere and go and win a championship with somebody else. It's easy. I could go, I don't want to put anybody in the spot, but I could go to a super team and, you know, just do my part and win a championship, still won. But this is the hard way to do it, and this is the way to just do it. And we did it. We did it, man.
So yesterday, former NBA player Steven Jackson had this to say about those comments.
It means a lot to him to stay and win it in Milwaukee, but he's on a super team. You got Jrue Holiday, you got a closing Middleton. He's the most dominant player that I've seen in a long time, and I got to give him his credit, but he has a closer. He has a closer. Same things, just like Shaq had. Shaq was the most dominant, but he had a closer in Kobe. And you have Jrue Holiday, one of the best defenders in the game. So don't make it seem like your team is just a whole bunch of D-leaguers. You know, you have one D-leaguer that's an all-star now. So you have a super team. You might not have super names and guys that selling tennis shoes, but you have a super. A super team. Don't diminish your teammates.
So, gentlemen, I ask you, shot or no shot, Steven Jackson is actually right. The Bucks are a super team.
They're a very good team that won the championship. That's some of the dumbest things Steven Jackson has ever said.
Said some dumb things,
dude. I mean, literally, that is just idiocy out of his mouth. First of all, my friend Jonathan Hood called Windy City Bulls G League games. Chris Middleton was in the freaking G League.
Yeah, he was.
He was a second-round draft pick that couldn't make the NBA roster. Now you're going to call them a super team? They're a hell of a team because they won the title. But they don't have James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, or Anthony Davis, LeBron James. No.
Yeah, we have to make sure we clearly define what a super team is. A super team is parts from other teams that come together as a collective to make one big super team. The Celtics have done that. As a matter of fact, we can go back as far as the Barkley Suns. Barkley always says, I don't understand the super team thing. Dude, you did the same thing in Houston and Phoenix.
Right.
You also were part of a super team. It's funny, like, Barkley forgets this, right?
Correct.
After his time in Philadelphia, is like, dude, you also. And the Suns, as I've told you before, I thought that was the closest team to beat the Bulls. I thought that super team was going to be together and be able to beat the Bulls, and it didn't happen. So the super team is defined as I'm leaving this team, he's leaving this team, to come together. Another small example of that, the Clippers. How Kawhi and Paul George came together, right?
Correct.
So it's not homegrown talent all coming at the same time, or someone, you know, like a Holiday, because Holiday was not a star when he came over to the Bucks.
No, he was a good player for New Orleans. He wasn't, oh my God. Middleton was the second round pick that they put in the freaking G League, yeah. And Giannis was the 14th overall or 15th overall pick that had to develop.
Gary Payton and Karl Malone played on the same team with the Lakers. Am I right?
Correct.
That's part of a super team. They were trying to put together a super team. That's what that is. That's how I define it.
Steven Jackson, you're better than that.
Gentlemen, the Houston Chronicle reported that Texas and Oklahoma have reached out to the SEC about joining the conference. There have been discussions between Texas and Oklahoma and the SEC, but officials have said no invitations have been extended just yet. I ask you guys, shot or no shot, if teams continuously look to change conferences, the NCAA will be forced to go to a conference-less system.
That's a no shot.
I think that's a no shot for me. You know, I've always thought that the SEC would secede from everywhere else. Mm-hmm. I always thought they'd have their own deal, or the Power Five would have their own deal, seceding away from the NCAA.
I didn't think the SEC would. I thought there'd be like a 30 school
Power
mega
Five
conference with divisions, and the best of the best.
That way, Cincinnati can win their own national championship.
Exactly.
You're
in Division One, but Michigan, Ohio State, they're playing with the big school.
Yeah.
So like 64 schools in the big school. That's what I'm getting at, right?
Yeah, like a super conference.
Yeah, but it's just one of them.
Texas doesn't scare me anymore. That used to be something special. They're not. Oklahoma, because they can score, boy, they're just...
God. I love their coach.
Oh, man, they could just score in bunches, right? So that's a team that's formidable. But if Oklahoma and Texas get in the SEC, that pushes my Georgia team down like maybe one more peg. Because Alabama, they're in a class by themselves, and now you're looking for the next tier, and that's usually Georgia right there, LSU, Florida. But you bring Oklahoma, and not Texas as much, but Oklahoma in there, oh, my God.
Crazy.
Big-time offense there. So, I would say no shot. Conference-less,
yeah.
I don't see that.
I don't either. Danny.
All right, gentlemen, 300 words have been added to dictionary.com. Amongst those words is the term zaddy, Z-A-D-D-Y. Shot or no shot, you boys know what zaddy means.
I know exactly what zaddy means, yes.
I have no freaking clue.
Oh, come on.
Hood knows what it means because he is zaddy.
Oh, I don't know if you should say that.
What do you mean?
Go ahead.
That's a compliment.
I understand.
Look it up.
I'm just helping,
Don't
Cap.
Don't look it up, Cap. Everyone on Twitch can see what you're doing. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
I do not have.
We all saw you looking up the Sports Illustrated swimsuit models and zooming in on certain parts.
I did not zoom in on anything.
We can see your computer on Twitch.
Computer from 1971 here. There's no zooming feature, unfortunately. I mean,
you got the Commodore 64 over there?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. So what do you have here? Now, zoom again. Keep your concentration on the show.
She was pretty.
Oh, God.
Anyway, Danny.
She looked like Ben Zobrist's ex-wife.
Oh.
She really did. I'm not joking.
She better be a better person. Go on.
Oh.
So what does zaddy mean, dude?
I don't know.
It's an attractive man who is also stylish, charming, and self-confident. Tell me you're not zaddy, Hood.
No question. Attractive to some people, at least one person in my home.
That's all that matters.
I think the rest is a debate.
That's it.
So have you ever been considered a zaddy? Fashionable? Yes.
Okay.
Charismatic?
Probably.
Yeah. Sexually attractive man?
I hope my wife finds me sexually attractive.
Outside of that, I'm talking about the people walking on State Street here.
I have no idea. Doubtful. Highly doubtful.
How about TW? You and Hawk would like this one. TW. That's now made it to the new 300 words on dictionary.com. TW. Yes. And it's not the wheel to win.
TW. Mm-hmm.
This one's perfect for you.
Oh, boy. What's it mean?
It means trigger warning.
Trigger. Like if you say the wrong thing, I'll be triggered?
Correct. Yes. Like let's say you're going to send a tweet out that might trigger some people.
Uh-huh.
I guess, and listen, I'm not sure, but I guess you would put before the tweet TW dash and then the tweet that might trigger some people to let them know, hey, you might be triggered by what I'm about to say.
Correct, but I don't get triggered. You have to really, really go to the nth degree with me. Like my wife said to me the other day,
you just got We've been doing Shot or No Shot since 8:02. I asked you about Steven Jackson, and his comments made you go 0 to 75.
Well, I didn't get triggered by Steven Jackson.
That seemed triggered to me.
No, absolutely not. My wife paid me the ultimate compliment the other day. She said, honey, I just want you to know something. You're as stable as anybody. She said, I know exactly what type of person I'm going to deal with every day. She said, I walk in, and you always have a smile on your face. Always. Yeah. I'm not. You got to really go over the top to trigger me.
You realize you talk for 3 hours on the radio every day.
Yeah, but that's my job.
But you realize, like, everybody that's hearing your voice right now has heard you get triggered in the last 7 days.
Yeah, I give my opinion, and I'm. This is who I am. But when I walk in the door at the house or we are upstairs, we have fun with what we do, but you don't go, oh, which guy is going to show up here today?
But that's not what triggered means. Triggered doesn't mean you're two different people. Triggered means that you get upset. Something can upset you easily, and you can go 0 to 75, like the Steven Jackson sound.
But it didn't triggered upset me. I was just being
triggered
opinionated.
Doesn't mean that you go home and punch the dog when you're in a bad mood. That's not what triggered means.
No,
that means you're just a jackass.
No, I know what it means, but I'm giving my opinion. I don't go, yeah, Steven Jackson. Maybe.
You don't
maybe
say not. That if that guy doesn't agree, he's an idiot, or that's the dumbest tweet I ever saw. After the NBA championship, you were tweeting at people that poo-pooed your Chris Middleton take. That in and of itself was the thought of people disagreeing with your thoughts on Chris Middleton triggered you so much, you had to run to Twitter to say, take that.
No,
that in and of itself is you being triggered by
no,
people.
No, absolutely not.
There was no Matote in those tweets, I'll tell you that for sure.
No.
Dude, you have no grasp of what triggered means. Triggered doesn't mean a guy that's a jackass to his wife. Triggered means that something can get under your skin and bother you. And a lot of stuff gets under your skin.
Yeah, but like the Chris Middleton thing, I wasn't bothered. I just was like, take that.
You want an example? How about the second pick in the draft in the NFL? His mom.
She didn't.
She triggered you.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
I'm just giving my opinion.
No. That was over the top. That wasn't. I wish it was just an opinion. But that's fine, though. Listen, everyone has their
triggers. Triggers me? If someone who's never met me said, he's a blankety blank about me.
Yeah.
Have you ever met me? No. Then stop. That triggers me. If you've met me and I was, which I would find hard to believe, I'd try very hard not. I just try to be a nice guy.
Yeah.
But if you say, oh, he's a ass.
Right.
Have you met me? No. Then stop. That triggers me.
Cap, we've had meetings in the morning where something Sylvie has said between 2 and 6 on this very station has upset you so much that you go off on this whole rant about Sylvie and what he said. I mean, that is the definition of being triggered. You've done it on the air. People have heard it. That's
in the
triggered.
Past. That's old me.
Oh, that's the old you.
So many caveats here.
Well, you shed skin quickly. Well, no, that's the old me. That was just a month ago.
Yeah.
That's the old me.
I molt.
And when I say old, I mean about 6 hours ago.
Yeah, I don't think I get that triggered.
Red hand, mother bleeper.
All right. Waddle's list of the most important bears is next. We've reached the top five.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So maybe I do get triggered at times.
Say it louder for the people in the back. You said what now?
After we had a little discussion here off the air.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a few topics that do trigger me.
Well, it's not maybe. It's for sure. But it's just who you are, man. Don't run away from it.
It is.
It's part of your makeup. You're a lot more triggered on topics than I am. I'm cool, like the other side of the pillow.
No. I know of your triggers. Don't ever interrupt you when you're in the middle of a thought or try to dismiss your thought. You can debate, but don't ever dismiss his thought. Or he goes 0 to 60. I've seen it.
You.
Is that true, Danny?
No, you don't. He never goes 0 to 60.
See?
He's not like you and I.
See?
But he will, if you, like, interrupt him in the middle of him doing it, I'm speaking. Like, well, you'll put well, someone he right
there. He doesn't get angry, but he does want to finish his thought.
Because it's rude.
I don't disagree with that.
I'm just pointing out the rudeness. When's the last time you see me, Danny, go 0 to 60 on anything? 0 to 35, maybe.
20 years.
20 years
probably. As long as I've known you.
All right, Tom Waddle. Gregory Thomas Waddle, America's sweetheart, has a list going of the top 15 most important Bears for this season only. So if you're ranked number 12, Eddie Jackson, it doesn't mean you're the 12th best player. In order of importance, we're at number 5. Here's Tom Waddle.
All right, here we go. Top 5. I move back to the offensive side of the ball. Can I remind you, the last 3 seasons, do you know where the Chicago Bears ranked in yards per game? I will let you know. It's 21st, 29th, 22nd.
I was trying to think, for goodness sake.
Yes, so they need to get better, significantly better, on the offensive side of the football. And that means young guys need to blossom. One of those young guys is second-year tight end Cole Kmet. Wow. Cole Kmet is number 5 in terms of important Bears for the 2021 season. Remember, as I've told you ad nauseum, that this list, for me, is about offensive improvement and development for the future because I don't consider the Bears a legitimate 2021 Super Bowl contender. Cole Kmet had 44 catches for 243 yards and 2 touchdowns as a rookie. Very modest stats. Strangely enough, I think his participation was limited in large part by his coach.
Right. Another one of those where the press conferences would happen after Cole Kmet would get like 10 plays on the field. And then the head coach would say, who is also, by the way, the play caller in the press conference, we need to get more Cole Kmet more out there on the field more. You just called the plays of the game.
Yeah.
Look in the mirror.
Well, hopefully Cole can be a difference maker in his second season. He needs to be. Remember, he was a second-round pick a year ago, so he needs to play, and he needs to play an enormous role in the passing game because, as I've told you 1,000 times, going back to the year that Matt Nagy was hired, the tight end plays a huge role in this offense. It's the reason why I thought Trey Burton was going to be a home run free agent signing, and Trey Burton was very good in year one. It went sideways after that. But the tight end position, nonetheless, is still very important in this offense. I don't know that Cole is as athletic as a Travis Kelce or as a Kittle or one of the other tight ends in the league, but I do know that he's a talented young player, and he needs to be one of these guys going forward that elevates this offense overall. He needs to have a 60-catch 700-yard season with 5 or 6 touchdowns.
Amen.
The tight end position is very important, and we know that Jimmy Graham is, for the, a lack of a better description, he's a red zone target only. So Cole Kmet needs to have himself a 60-catch, 700-yard touchdown season and 6 touchdowns type of season because he, like some of the offensive players I've mentioned and maybe a few that may be on the horizon as well on this list, it all comes down to the development of Justin Fields. And if you don't have any talent inside that offensive huddle or you have limited talent inside that offensive huddle and the guys you've spent draft picks on inside that offensive huddle aren't helping elevate the play of the young quarterback, then you've got serious problems going forward. So number 5, most important players in the 2021 season for your Chicago Bears, I have Cole Kmet, a guy that has to play a vital role in this offense being better, not just this year, but in years to come with a new quarterback.
I completely agree with what he said about Cole Kmet. And what I'm hearing is that Cole Kmet and Fields and Dalton have been working very, very hard. And that Cole Kmet is like a different player up there. They said his grasp of the offense and his confidence level light years farther than where he was.
You know, Cap, let me just call it out now on July 22nd. It very well could be that Andy Dalton's best friend on the team is going to have to be Cole Kmet. That safety valve that he's going to need, right? Wide receivers are covered. Here's Kmet, who can barrel down the field, right? You know, you need a 5-10-yard pass, and the receivers like Robinson and Mooney are covered. His best friend might be Kmet,
mm-hmm.
to the tune of, Well, Jimmy Graham's still on the team, but I think Komet could get the lion's share of the tight end catches, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Like, Graham will be the same guy in the red zone. He's big. He's strong. He posts up like a bat. He was a basketball player.
Yeah.
Get you on his hip, throw it up, I'll go get it. But the guy in the middle of the field who should be able to rack up some really good numbers, Cole Komet.
The next choice for Waddle will be Tevin Jenkins. It won't be number one.
Really?
How about that for a prediction?
Tevin Jenkins is going to be number four.
Yeah.
Okay, we know of the remaining four, one is going to be Khalil Mack.
One of them, yes, for sure.
Okay, one of them's got to be Andy Dalton.
Yes.
I disagree.
Or a quarterback of some sort.
Yeah. One of the quarterbacks. We know Allen Robinson.
A-Rob, Mack.
Mack, and probably Jenkins are three of the four. The question is that fourth which quarterback?
Fields. Maybe. Fields could be number four. I just don't think Fields is number one. I don't.
I'd be hard-pressed. It's hard for me to believe. I think that the quarterback will be the number one spot, whether it's Dalton or Fields. But I believe your pick of Jenkins will be there, but I think that might be next. The protection on the left side of that offense does matter, for sure. It won't be any of the guards. Well, one of them was Fetty, right?
Yep.
That was a couple of days ago. But
yep. He's at right tackle.
At right tackle, yeah. Yep.
All right. We'll see how this all shakes out. Number four comes later today on the Waddle and Sylvie Show. But every day here, we replay it at 8:20. Tom Brady is like Wayne Gretzky and Michael Jordan? That's next.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Clones. What is up?
So it's so funny to see, like, Michael Jordan does his Hall of Fame induction speech, and he's trashing the high school coach that didn't put him on the varsity, Jerry Krause.
Jerry Krause.
Yes.
His mama has got huge hands, Kaplan. I'm talking about Eddie Curry's mama. Big hands. That's why I drafted him. Him and Tyson. The future. We're going to rebuild with these guys. Kaplan.
Didn't work out well.
Kaplan, we're going to build with these two. They're going to be the baby Bulls. I usually don't like Chicago talent being on the Bulls. But it's going to work. It's going to be great. 15 wins. We were terrible.
It didn't work out.
Tyson Chandler told Sam Smith after like another loss, like the 60th loss of the season. Sam says, so what are you going to do about the rest of this season? How are you going to win it? Will you feel like you're going to win another game? We're going to win by any means necessary. And Sam slowly turned off his Marantz and walked out the door. He's like, I'm not listening to this anymore.
No more.
Sam left.
I'm done. I'm out. Sam. But so Michael's critical of these perceived slights. Like, who was the player?
LeBradford Smith.
LeBradford Smith. Mm-hmm. LeBradford Smith said, I never said anything to the guy. But Michael made it up in his mind.
Because I took it personal.
Byron Scott just told the story. They got off the plane. They saw Byron Scott. Michael goes, are you not playing tonight? He's like, no, I'm out with an injury. He goes, who's guarding me? Anthony Peeler. That's a 50. And he threw up 50-plus.
For real, yeah.
But he took all these slights that people said something, and they never did. Tom Brady is the exact same guy. Like, guys won 7 flippin' Super Bowls. Here's Tom Brady on Sirius yesterday.
In the end, there's no better place for me to go than where I actually went, was the Bucks. And
but you've caused a lot of intrigue with this, and everybody's guessing. Do you care to expose who it was you were talking about?
No, because there's private things for me that are going to remain, motivational for me. So they know who they are. I mean,
they know?
Yeah, the teams know who were probably interested in. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I mean, everyone's got a choice to choose. You know, I think what you realize is that there's not as many smart people as you think. You know, it's just the reality. I think it'd be a no-brainer if you said, you know, hey, you got a chance to get Wayne Gretzky on your team, or you get a chance at Michael Jordan on your team. Oh, we don't need him. You know, no thanks. We're good. You know, in my mind, I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, let me go show those teams what they're missing. And at the same time, let me go prove to the team that did bet on me and the team that really showed that they really wanted me and committed to me that I'm not going to let them down.
Man, he just called himself Wayne Gretzky and Michael Jordan.
He probably is.
I know he is, Cap, but it's just kind of like he said it out loud for the first time ever. It shows you that the apron strings have been cut from his days with the Patriots. As a Patriot, he would never say that. Never.
Never.
Because because Belichick had his thumb on him the entire time. He's a buck now with a coach that's drinking Crown Royal, and he's like...
wearing a Kangol hat.
Yeah, like, dude, so you wouldn't want Wayne Gretzky or Michael Jordan on your team? He's talking to the 49ers or the Bears. He's talking to the 49ers. Wait a minute, you don't know.
It's not the Bears.
He's
confirmed
Bears.
It was not the Bears. He's confirmed that.
No, because he said, sometimes you think people are smarter than you are, and maybe nobody ever thought Ryan Pace was that smart.
Oh!
That's why I'm ruling out the Bears.
And, oh, by the way, that fits your narrative, by the way. Yeah, one of the other things that you were triggered about, okay? The whole Shanahan scenario. Stop! He's not perfect! He had one Super Bowl appearance, but he's not some genius. Take that! Did you not say that a few days ago?
I said the other day that this insanity is the greatest offensive man in the NFL. He's had one season over 500.
Ah.
One!
And you said, stop yourself!
Stop yourself.
Exactly.
When go continually put up winning seasons, I'll give you all the plaudits you want. But right now, come on, man. 4-12, 4-12. I mean, stop.
That's who Brady's talking about, just like you were talking about Shanahan.
I think
that's who he's talking about.
I think you're right. I think it's Kyle Shanahan. You're sticking with that.
That's what it was, the whole Emmer Bleeper thing,
yes.
Right? He's like, you're going to go with that Emmer Bleeper?
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo is who he's talking about.
No question.
Do you think it's cool that he's addressing himself as one of the greatest ever?
Yes.
I never, ever have heard Michael Jordan call himself the greatest of all time. When he's asked questions about that, he kind of...
because he doesn't have to.
Exactly. Wayne Gretzky, I don't believe I've ever heard him call himself the greatest of all time.
No.
Here's Tom Brady.
And his nickname is the Great One.
Yes. And here's Tom Brady saying he's the greatest of all time. Like, I almost feel like that dilutes it a little bit because he, like Michael, he shouldn't have to say it.
Hold on, Danny. You're saying he didn't call himself the greatest of all time.
But he put himself in their category.
Okay, he put himself in their category. But he didn't call himself the greatest of all time.
Mellor's right. If he just said, don't want the GOAT?
Yes.
That would be different.
But putting yourself in the category with the two greatest, nobody argues MJ, well, LeBron people, but most people know MJ's the greatest of all time. Most people, even non-hockey fans, know Wayne Gretzky's the greatest of all time. So to put yourself in that category, it's suggesting I'm that guy.
Just keep in mind, he didn't use the examples of Chris Middleton and Yari Curry. Okay.
Right. He's won seven Super Bowls. He is the greatest.
Yes, so why say it? That's what I'm saying.
But he didn't call himself the greatest. He just said, I'm amongst, Who are you going to? Is your football guy? Are you not going to Tom Brady?
Guy?
Yeah, but he shouldn't. My point is
the answer.
Well, Ryan and Matt are our football guys.
Yeah.
You guys all are radio hosts.
Yeah.
All three of you. Do you ever put yourself in the Howard Stern category when talking about your radio career?
I would never do that.
No.
Now, if someone writes that about me, yes. However, there is someone among us that says that he is the best in the building.
Yurko? Danny?
That guy.
Oh, Danny.
So, there's that.
Well, but I mean, it's just been said about me, so I'm repeating
it. Who said that? Wait a minute, who said that? Is that Feeder? Feeder, do you have that, Rob?
He's busy covering Wendy C. Live.
I think it was a Jason Barrett column that called Danny one of the best producers in the entire industry.
Very generous to me.
No, but Danny said it about himself, though. Did he not?
He did.
Were you not in the meeting?
I maybe wasn't paying attention.
So,
no,
listen,
you were paying attention.
Listen,
you were standing up listening.
Sometimes.
Take that!
Sometimes.
First one in, last one to leave. Take that! Were you not in there for that?
Sometimes you've got to give yourself back pats when no one else is going to.
I'll give it to you, pal.
So sometimes
you've got
to self-advocate.
But Tom Brady's won seven flipping rings. Like everyone says, that's the GOAT. Yeah, it's just like happenstance, whatever.
Well, here's the topic. Is it arrogance or is it confidence?
For him, it's confidence.
Okay.
It's not arrogance. For me.
Well, if you're good and you know it, that's confidence, correct? You're if you're excellent and you know it, you are.
He just walks in the building and everyone goes, guy's the greatest.
He put himself up there with Michael and Wayne Gretzky without having to say it. Because why would he use those examples? Because he believes he's the greatest. And by the way, he is.
No question.
I would not say that because I want it to be written about me. Let the public make that distinction. Right?
Yeah, but again, when he says it the way he says it.
You're a Hall of Famer. No one had to write that you were great because you earned your way to the Hall of Fame. So now you're in rare air in our city as a broadcaster.
Okay.
So you didn't have to say it. The committee put that together and said you are one of the all-time greats.
Okay, but Tom Brady is at just an entirely different level. Like, I'm with Meller on this. I don't think he was being arrogant.
In the end, there's no better place for me to go than where I actually went was the Bucks.
But you've caused a lot of intrigue with this, and everybody's guessing. Do you care to expose who it was you were talking about?
No, because there's private things for me that are going to remain, motivational for me. So they know who they are. I mean, the teams
know. You think
they
know?
Yeah, the teams know who were probably interested. And, yeah, I mean, it's fine. I mean, everyone's got a choice to choose. You know, I think what you realize is that there's not as many smart people as you think. You know, it's just the reality. I think it'd be a no-brainer if you said, you know, hey, you got a chance to get Wayne Gretzky on your team, or you get a chance at Michael Jordan on your team. Oh, we don't need him. You know, no thanks. We're good. You know, I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, let me go show those teams what they're missing. And at the same time, let me go prove to the team that did bet on me and the team that really showed that they really wanted me and committed to me that I'm not going to let them down.
Huh. Courtesy of SiriusXM, their town hall, the guy chiming in over the top of Tom Brady is Jim Gray.
Correct.
Unfortunately.
All right. Is Brady arrogant or confident? 312-332-3776. And we have Waddle's list, so we've got some calls. Look what you've done to those phone lines, Hoodie. 312-332-3776. Cap J Hoodie, ESPN. This hour brought to you by Valparaiso University. The satisfaction that comes with living your full potential is immeasurable. Where will you take your career? Name it. Valpo will help get you there. Learn more at valpo.edu.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood
on ESPN 1000
and the ESPN Chicago app.
Day 51. Hope you're enjoying your morning coffee. Your day's off to a good start. We appreciate you listening to ESPN 1000 and the Cap J Hood Morning Show. Get our podcast on the ESPN Chicago app for both iPhone and Android. Just download the free app, instant on. You can listen to the station and all the podcasts of all the shows, including our show, the Under the Hood Basketball Podcast, and the Armchair Nutritionist Podcast of Danny's. That is really, really entertaining. Let's go to Zach on the west side. Zach Attack, what's up, Sparkles?
Morning, fellas. Good morning. I love y'all show. Keep doing your thing.
Appreciate you.
We got to get this to Tom Brady. If nobody else deserves to speak on his name like he does, he was the 199th pick. He has a chip on his shoulder that probably will never go away. And to see him flip it from being 199 to having 7 Super Bowl rings to being the reason why he has not just the role player, but the player. When you look at Wayne Gretzky, when you look at Michael Jordan, they were the player and the reason why those teams won championships. So Tom Brady has every right in my book to go from 199 being drafted with an ugly draft pick to being, you know, celebrating every day of his life now with a beautiful wife and beautiful kids. Tom Brady is the GOAT. He don't have to say it. Everybody knows it. I love you guys. Y'all have a great day.
Zach, thank you very much.
Appreciate you.
And I will say this about Tom Brady. Because he was with the Patriots, I think that in a lot of ways, Tom feels like he was undermined, that he cannot speak his mind. You know, you hear from former players saying that they suck the personality out of it, you know, out of the Patriots, because it's all about Belichick and football and being focused. But you know, Gronk was like the anomaly on that team, right? Gronk could be Gronk, but everyone else had to fall in line. Now we're seeing more of Brady's personality, him saying out loud that he's great even when Belichick didn't. So that's really a 180-degree turn for Brady.
Let's go to Tom in Lyle. Hey, Tommy, what's up there, man?
Hey, good morning, guys. I mean, you could look at it that he's not being either confident nor arrogant. He's just being fact-based. I mean, in real estate parlance, those are the comps. You know, that's just the fact.
Yeah, that's why I have, and appreciate the call. It's why I have no problem with what he said. I didn't think he was being arrogant at all. He's Tom Brady. Just that's all you got to say. Tom Brady. He's the greatest quarterback ever. He's one of the greatest winners in the history of sport. He's Tom Brady.
I agree. Yes. I agree with you, Cap. But we juxtapose that to Gretzky and Jordan. They have never said that, at least I can recall, openly. And that doesn't mean that they're less than. It's just that everyone has a different approach. But it's refreshing, actually, to hear Brady say it, because it feels like he's peeling off layers from his past with the Patriots.
But hold on. I'm going to push back on you. Michael was that way in The Last Dance when that Mellor's got the cut there when he said, I want them to experience winning like I am. And if you don't like how I treated them, you've never won anything in your life. And that's what it takes to win at that level. And you don't understand. Break. Remember when he did that?
Yeah.
And he got emotional? That's putting himself on an entirely different plane than everybody else. You don't understand what winning is. I do. I'm the freaking GOAT. That's what he was saying.
Yeah. Also, the cognac was starting to get back on him a little bit toward the end.
Correct.
And the cigar.
That cut. We should play that cut. I mean, that's
cognac.
He's
also
saying the same exact thing.
Yeah. Yak also gets me a little emotional, a little teary-eyed from time to time.
A little bit.
Yep.
A little burn. Mm-hmm. When Wayne, I have to go back and do some homework on articles or interviews, but when Wayne Gretzky got traded, whether it was Edmonton to the Kings, mm-hmm. he played in St. Louis, he played in New York. There had to be a moment where he went, wow, you don't want the greatest player of all time? I guarantee he did.
Yeah. Again,
he's the great one.
I have no problem with that from my standpoint. I just know that if that's me, I'm not calling myself great. I'm talking about me. I'd rather for you to say it or for it to be written.
Just assumed. Right?
Yes.
Just assumed.
Assumed is good too, yes.
Here's Eli and Skokie. Hey, Eli, what's up, Cookie?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, Eli.
So I just want to say I listened to the clip from Brady. Firstly, I do believe he's the GOAT, but also he never says that he's the GOAT. He simply holds himself to the standard of being one of the greatest players ever, which is what got him to where he needs to be. So I don't think it's arrogance in any way. He should hold himself. I think all professional players got to hold themselves to that standard and think they're that good or want to be that good. And that's just my opinion. You know, he's not saying I'm the best. He's saying, I believe that I could be like them. I believe that I should want to be like them. You don't want a guy like that.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I did not either. Look, it's just understood. He just walks in a room and, oh, that's the greatest. You don't go, is he like if a good quarterback walked in, if
Andy Dalton.
No, better than that.
Oh. Drew Brees.
If Drew Brees walked in, you go, oh, that guy was a really good player. You don't go, there's the GOAT.
I did a quick search. Wayne Gretzky said numerous times, Gordie Howe's the greatest ever. Anytime somebody mentioned to him, are you the best ever, call him the greatest ever, he said Gordie Howe was.
By the way, speaking of hockey, the Blackhawks will have their press conference today. First time since the sexual allegations within the organization. Stan Bowman will talk to the media. I saw scheduled at 11. Did you see that, too?
I did.
11 o'clock.
Correct.
So I'd be interested to see what Bowman has to say.
Right, but is it going to be one of those where, I'm sorry, under advice of counsel, I can't answer any of those questions? But I appreciate your question.
Probably. And now that will just be on the hockey part.
Wow. 312-332-3776.
What's he going to say?
So the Athletic got a hold of the people running the Chick-fil-A restaurant in Brookfield, Wisconsin that Giannis went to. It's an unbelievable, interesting inside story of the moment that he pulled up to order dinner or breakfast or whatever you call it when you don't sleep all night, you're hungover, and he said, I'm starving. We'll get into all of that coming up next. 2 minutes.